God bless you. God bless you. If you don't know me, my name is Pastor Daryl, and I'm honored to be the senior pastor of this house. My wife is leading our church kids today. They're having a great time. You may hear them upstairs at some point. Don't be alarmed. That just means they are having a blast. But it is the honor of our lives. And wow, I'm just so blessed. You blessed me last Sunday. Kristen's still in trouble for trying to throw a surprise party on best Sunday ever. But it was so much fun reading your cards and notes and getting text messages. And I'm 50 years old now. It's hard to believe. But you all made it so very special. So special that I'm still celebrating today. Amen. So thankful. And then, wow, last Sunday was awesome. And then we transitioned right into Fall Festival, and it was just fantastic. It was an army of Team Church that helped put on Fall Festival, and it was just a fantastic event. So well organized, so many good things happening on the campus, and just so much fun to hang out with your friends and your family and see God do so many great things. Someone asked, can we do this every Sunday? No, we cannot do that every Sunday, but it's a lot of work, but we just have a good time, whatever it is we're doing when we get together as a church family. We have other events that are coming up and that are in queue right now and in planning stages, and this is a great time for you to be a part of Team Church and to be a part of helping to pull off great events like the Fall Festival and Best Sunday Ever and just whatever it is that's happening around the church. These are exciting times. Again, if you're new, let's connect. Connect with us. Get your phone out. Text 404-777-4701, and it will be a blessing. It will be a blessing. So we started asking God some questions last Sunday. Important questions. And we're not in trouble. He's not mad at us for asking the question. He's not upset with us. He's all right with our wondering. He's all right with our asking. And so we've got some questions. We're trying to figure out we know that God does not want us in the dark. He does not want us to be the last to know in our lives. I say to people all the time, even as pastor of the church, I just work here. I'm often the last person to find out things going on in the church. God does not want you to be the last person finding out what he's doing in your life. So when you're curious and when you're wondering and when you're asking and when you're trying to find his will and you're searching out his ways, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And last Sunday, if you weren't here or you missed that, you can always catch up on YouTube at the Church Cove. Just search there. Make sure that you like and subscribe. But you can catch up there because we talked last Sunday asking God, why didn't you answer my prayer? But the question that I have today, I think, is one that we've all asked at one point or another in our lives. And I'm going to tell you what that question is in just a moment. But I want to read first John 3:16. I imagine all of you could quote it along with me today, but it is an important verse. I don't want you just to see it as, you know, something that's going to be on a postcard when you watch football this afternoon or just someone's random tattoo that has this verse referenced. I want you to hear this today or read it along with me on the screen and really hear this, really read this all the way down into your soul today. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now I'm going to tell you at the outset today, I've always believed that God loved the world. Never had any problem believing that God loves the world. He loves sinners. He loves people that he's trying to reach, people that he's trying to help, people that he is trying to be the difference in their lives. I've always believed that God loves the world, but there have been times, if I'm honest with you, there have been times that I just wasn't sure how he could really love me. I know he loves the world. I'm not sure that he loves me. Maybe you can relate today. Maybe you have felt that in your life. Maybe you are feeling that right now. How could God love me? I mean, after all I've done, after all I've said, after the thoughts that I have thought, how is it even possible that God could love me? So here's the question today, God. Do you really love me? I want you just to look at somebody today and tell them, this is about as deep as we're going today. Get ready. Just look at someone and tell them, you are someone God loves. It's amazing. It's amazing how much we need to hear that. It's amazing how powerful that becomes in our lives. It's amazing. It's amazing how true that is, because we question whether or not God loves us. I see my friend Sharia Williams out back here with me. This is Cheryl Anderson's daughter, Stan Anderson's daughter, and just a beautiful soul. Sadly, Sierra struggles with MS. MS is not kind to a young woman. She was telling me last Sunday, as she was still sitting here in the auditorium after the service, she was just telling me about a recent event that happened in her life, and she was feeling this just unbelievable pain. She described it, Sierra did, as just cold, almost like stabbing, shooting pain that was happening up in her head and down her neck and just into her body. And she was just so shivering cold, but also just inside cold. And this went on for 3 nights. The first night it was like a 4-hour event. She could not get warm. She couldn't find any relief anywhere. She just couldn't find any help. The second night, when it came on so strong, she got all of her kids into bed with her and were using their body heat to try to warm her up and try to keep her warm. And then by the third night, she didn't want to bother the kids. She didn't want to wake the kids up. She turned on some worship music, and for about 20 minutes into this pain event that was excruciating and exhausting and so difficult to deal with, she was just trying to worship her way through it. And she said, with eyes closed, just feeling this unbearable pain, she felt someone sit down on the bed beside her. She thought her son Alex had woken up and had come into the room, and so she was concerned as a mom that she had woken up her child, and so she opened her eyes, but Alex was not there. And yet she could see the imprint of someone sitting on the bed. She could see how the comforter was moved and just the impression of someone sitting there beside her. And she said immediately that pain left. Immediately the pain left. And guess what? The pain has not returned. But this is what she said to me last Sunday. And I said, you know what, if you don't mind, I'm gonna use this story in a message that is upcoming. Because while she's telling me this story, while the Lord, I believe it was Jesus himself that came and sat down on the side of her bed with her, she said, hey, you do love me. You do love me. You love me. Because sometimes we go through things in life and we deal with things in life and we struggle with things in life, and it makes us wonder, does God even know who we are, and how could he love me? See, if you aren't sure of God's love today, it's possible that you are thinking of the wrong kind of love. I know they say love is love, but there are actually several types of love, and we're just going to cover a couple of those today with the time that we have. But the first of those loves is a love that loves because the object is valuable. We love something because the object is valuable. This is the most common type of love. It's one that you are well familiar with. Maybe you remodeled your kitchen and you love your countertops. There's value there. You love these things. Maybe on a really materialistic level, maybe you've saved and saved. You wanted a pair of shoes, or you wanted a certain handbag, and you saved, and now you finally have it, and you wear those shoes with pride. You don't want any creases in your sneakers. You hold that bag just right in every picture because it is a valuable object and you love it. You love it because the value of this object. And all of that is cool, and all of that is neat. But there is a love that loves because the object is valuable. The problem with that kind of love is that you and I do not always feel valuable. We feel a mess. Honestly, I've never measured up to my own expectations, much less God's. How could I really believe God loves me? And so when you consider love and only love what is valuable, it's hard to believe that God could love you. When you see yourself as broken, when you see yourself as messed up, how could God really love me? So here's a better love. A better love is a love that loves and gives value to the object. That's a better love. Think perhaps of your favorite childhood toy. Maybe it was a stuffed animal, maybe a doll or a blanket. I'm betting today that whatever that thing was, if it's a doll, if it's a blanket, if it's a stuffed animal, you likely gave that object a name. And most likely it was not very attractive. The object, it wasn't very pretty. It definitely was not perfect. It was likely flawed, probably had a hole in it. More than likely it was torn. I guarantee you that it smelled bad. Me, I had a blanket. I had a blanket that went everywhere I went. I don't know where it came from or how it happened. I called it my Yane. I have no idea. I have no idea. I've asked my mother, where did I get that name? She doesn't know. No one knows. But I called it my Yane, and I would cry for it, and I would beg for it. It went everywhere that I went till I was about 42 years old and just kidding. LL had a white bunny and a pink bunny. The pink bunny was the backup. She was given both of them, or we bought one of them, and maybe her Mimi bought another one, but the white one was the one that she was attached to, and it went everywhere she went. The pink one just sat on a shelf. It was just somewhere out of the way. The white bunny was the one that she favored and was so important to her. She never would let go of it. We would have to get her to sleep and then carefully extract, almost with surgical precision, extract that out from her clutch to put it into the wash after she went to bed at night, because she would drag it through every trail and path she walked, and it was dirty and it was worn, but she had to have her white bunny until it was left somewhere. We don't know where it happened, how it happened, but we happily presented her with pink bunny, and it was a long, long time before she accepted pink bunny into the family. And even then, it was with a little disdain, it was with a little side eye. She just never was quite accepting of pink bunny. And then Jude had a hooker. At least that's what he called it. He was just a little guy, but he carried around a bungee cord that had hooks on the end. Looked just like that right there. He would walk around. It's not a bunny, it's not a stuffed animal, but he took it everywhere that he went. He would walk around the church in Texas. Have you seen my hooker? We tried to explain to him that he couldn't call it that. He couldn't describe it at that. It didn't work. Everywhere he went, he had to know where his hooker was. Whatever yours was, you loved it. You loved it. You valued it. It was important to you. We all have a grandma's blanket, maybe an afghan or a quilt. Maybe you have some dishware stored somewhere in your house. Maybe it's a favorite mug or a tea glass. I go back home to my parents' house, and there are still these small Tupperware cups. If I'm going to get some water, if I'm going to get a splash of iced tea, I'm going to reach for one of those cups, because it is the same exact cup that I drank with as a child. She will not get rid of them. First of all, Tupperware will likely survive a nuclear, war. It's not going to be destroyed, but I have a feeling she keeps it for the same sentimental reasons that I always reach for that cup when I'm at her house. It's something that is valuable to me. We couldn't sell any of it for $2 at a garage sale, but it's valuable to me. Not because of how it looks, not because of what someone else thinks of it. It's important to me because it reminds me of something. It is an object that I have given value to. Whatever that is for you, you've given great value to that object because of a relationship, because of a season in your life. And it doesn't matter if anyone else loves it, you love it. And that is what matters. And here's what makes that special. What makes that special is that is how God loves us. We are flawed. We are broken. We have been wounded. We are well worn, and some days feel as though we are all used up. We are torn in certain places, and there is no part of us that is hidden from God. He knows all of our flaws. He sees each scar. He knows what it is that we're dealing with. We are his scarred instrument that he loves to play, and it is for his purpose. I want you to look at what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1. I love this setting of Scripture, Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. Even before, someone say before. Even before he made the world, God loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Even before God made the world, he loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided, verse 5, in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You got to understand today that you were planned for God's great pleasure. It's the reason you're alive today. It's the reason that you are still here today is because God wanted to love you. You see, adoption is powerful because there are no accidents in adoption. I was a surprise to my parents. My brother is 7 years older than I am. My sister, 5 years older than I am. They were done and content and weren't wanting any more children, and yet here I am. I was a surprise, but you don't accidentally adopt someone. You don't just accidentally end up with an extra child in your home. No, that's the way that God sees us. You weren't a surprise to me. I did have some leftover, some leftover sand, and so, well, I'll just form him real quick with what's left over. I'll just shape her right quick with this little bit that I've got left over in this great sandbox in the creative sky. No, he adopted us. He chose us. He selected us because he loves us. That's how you have to see yourself when it comes to God's love. He chose me and he selected me and he loves me. Is anybody thankful today to be loved by Jesus? Let me go a little further in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. In other words, this gets better and better and better. The closer you get to Jesus, the better and the stronger his love becomes in your life. That tells me this is not a sideline thing. This is not an up in the stands thing. This is not a casual thing. But when I invest in him, when I draw close to him, he draws close to me. When I get intentional in my relationship with the Lord, when I say, you know what, I'm going to be faithful. I'm not just going to church when I get in trouble. I'm not just going to be faithful when I've got failure all around me. I'm going to be intentional about this every single day of my life. He said, then this is going to grow. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Verse 18, and you may have the power to understand. He said, this is what I want you to understand. As all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Because as you grow in him, and as you become more complete in him, you're going to have the power to understand a few things. He said, I want you to understand how wide my love is. How wide is God's love? It's wide enough to be everywhere. Wide enough to encompass everyone and everywhere. When Elle was about 14 months old, we found out about Jude. And honestly, we had this kind of, wait a minute, I mean, we love Elle so much, and we, you know, I mean, she's got it all. How could we, we don't have enough love to love another. How are we going to love another child as much as we love her? But you know what? This beautiful boy came along, and it was amazing how our capacity grew. It was amazing how our ability to love grew. It's amazing how much more we were able to love. Suddenly we had enough love for two. It's awesome, and it's amazing. And you need to know this, because God's love is wide enough to encompass you wherever you are and wherever you go. It doesn't matter that there's nearly 8 billion people on the planet. He's got enough love to love every single one of us. Oh, the enemy would love to single you out. The enemy would love to separate you from others and say, no, he loves everybody but you. He loves all of them over there a little bit more than he loves you. No, get behind me, Satan, because I'm learning something today, and that is that God really does love me. The enemy's been using this to my detriment. He's been lying to me and telling me that I'm not valuable enough. But hear me, God has assigned value to me, and he loves me so much. He loves me so much. You may feel alone, but you will never be alone. Wherever you may be, his love is there, even if you're not aware of it. Doesn't matter where you go, whether it's the bar, the burbs, the hood, the meth house, or the church house, God's love is wherever you are. And I'm thankful today that he loves me. So he said, I need you to know how wide God's love is. And then he said, I want you to know how long God's love. How long is God's love? It's long enough to last forever. You see, human love may wane, it may ebb, it may fade, but God will never stop loving you. Doesn't matter what's happened. It doesn't matter what choice you made. It doesn't matter what you did wrong. God will never stop loving you. How deep is God's love? It's deep enough to handle anything. No matter what pain, no matter what hurt, no matter what problem, maybe you're in a pit today of despair, maybe you've hit rock bottom, but I've got news. God's love is deeper than any pit you could find yourselves in. I'm glad to know how deep God's love is, but he said, I want you to know how high God's love is. How high is God's love? It's high enough to overlook my mistakes. He's not overlooking like that of an absent parent who is just caught up in their own immaturity and not paying attention to what their kids are doing. No, it's not like that at all. He offers to forgive us. He offers to allow us to begin again, allow us the opportunity to start over. That's how high the love of God is. Listen, I'm not sure how you ended up here today. Maybe someone invited you weeks ago. Maybe you used to attend here a long time ago. Maybe you just drove past and felt drawn into the building. Maybe you're just curious. Maybe you're searching for something and you're not even sure what it is that you are searching for. Here's what I think today. I think that God wanted you here on this particular Sunday. In fact, he guided your steps. He ordered your steps. He brought you here so that he could say three words to you. Are you ready to hear what God wants to say to you? Here it is. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. It's amazing how meaningful that becomes when you've been living lonely, when you've been living broken, when you've made mistakes, when you've tripped, when you've stumbled, when you've struggled, when you've succumbed to addiction, when you've fallen back into an old habit, when you've made a mistake, when you've done things you swore you would never do, to find out that God loves me. But somebody else, maybe you need proof today. I'm going to prove it to you. Romans 5 and 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, let's talk about that mistake again. Let's talk about that addiction again. Let's talk about that stumble or that trip or that struggle. Let's talk about going back a dozenth time or a hundredth time, returning to your sin or returning to your struggle. While we were still sinners, he died for us. I need somebody to hear me. He didn't just shout this from the back room of heaven. He wasn't just sitting on a throne somewhere saying, hey, tell that boy I love him. If you see him, no, he said, I see him struggling. I see her going through it. I see them dealing with it. I'm going to demonstrate my love for them. And this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to a cross while we were disobeying, messing up, breaking all the rules, while we were yet sinners. God loves us with an unconditional, immeasurable, everlasting kind of love. He loves us with the kind of love that doesn't look for what's worthy in an object, but rather the kind of love that gives worth and value to the object. Oh, if I could get this through to someone today that feels like you have no value, that feels as though you have no worth, that feels as though everywhere you turn, it's a mistake and it's a problem for someone else and you're just a weight to the world. God has given value to you. You are his torn stuffed animal that he will not let go of. You are his broken toy that he will not part with. You are the instrument with strings that seem out of tune as you hear it play today. But God has the ultimate rescue. God has the ultimate restoration. God has the ultimate healing in your life, because God doesn't love you because you're worthy. God's love makes you worthy. I don't know who needs to hear it today. I don't know who needs to know it on this Sunday morning in October. God doesn't love us because we're worthy. We're not. Rather, his love has made us worthy. That's how good he is. That's his very essence. That is his nature. It's literally who he is. John told us, 1 John 4, 8 through 10, because God is love, he says in that second part of verse number 8, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And this becomes so powerful when you know who wrote it. A little Bible trivia today. Anybody know who wrote 1 John? That was John. Good guess. Not John the Baptist, John the disciple. They were brothers, James and John. The Bible called them the sons of thunder. They weren't exactly disciple material. They were brash, they were rough, they were loud, they were sailor-mouthed. That means they cussed real good. In fact, one time in Luke 9, Jesus came into a place and they didn't really they really didn't receive Jesus like they should have. And so John says, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? He wasn't talking about being kind to them. He wasn't talking about teaching them. No, he was talking about whipping them because they didn't accept Jesus the way they should have. That was John who wrote about God's love. John was always fighting, his brother always fighting, but John started spending time with Jesus. It was gradual at first. The changes were incremental. They were slow. They were slow to take hold. But before long, something in his identity began to change. Before long, something in his personality began to change. Something in his temperament began to change. And before it was all said and done, three different times in John's gospel, he would refer to himself. He would refer to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. Because someone got a revelation that Jesus loves me. I don't know who I'm preaching to today. This very simple Bible message. The truth is today, you didn't need deep. You didn't need complicated. You didn't need hermeneutical this and theological that. What you needed to know is that no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what crisis, no matter what sin, God loves you. Because you, just like John, are the one Jesus loves. Doesn't matter what your parents said. Doesn't matter how your friends made you feel. Doesn't matter where you fell short. Doesn't matter what you thought, what you said, or what you did. You are the one Jesus loves. Jesus said, if a man has 100 sheep and loses one of them, will he not leave the 99 to go after the one lost sheep? You are the one Jesus loves. He didn't shout his love from far away. He came to earth. He gave his life all for my sin. What is sin? People talk about sin and the lines have been so blurred. I don't even know anymore what is sin. Sin is simply missing the mark. It's what it means to sin, to miss the mark. To miss the mark that his word established for us. To miss the mark that our conscience, informed by his word and conviction, have established in our lives. But I've missed that mark so many times, and that's why I feel so unworthy. But remember, he doesn't love us because we earn value. He placed value on us. I wish I could convince you today. Of what, Pastor? I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Why don't you bow your head for just a moment today? This is a personal moment for someone in this room. It's a now moment for someone in this room. Someone who needed to know today. This couldn't wait till next week. This couldn't wait till tomorrow. There is desperation crying out in you. Somebody watching online, there is desperation where you sit right now. How could God love me? I've missed the mark so many times. I've made so many mistakes. I've gotten myself into so many messes, and I've gotten myself in so much trouble. But nothing has separated you from His love. I wonder if you're in this room today, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and no one's taking note, no one's looking around, there's no judgment in this house, everybody's focused on their own heart right now and their own need. But you'd say, Pastor Darrell, I need this today. I need to know that God loves me. Life has become so heavy, the burden's so great. Just lift your hand up if that's you. I need to know that God loves me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Hands, hands. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I want to pray with you today. I want to pray with all of us, and especially you that raised your hand to say, I just need to know today. The Bible says, and we have this confidence. Well, sometimes my confidence is shook, and I'm not quite as confident as maybe I've been at other times, but today I need a healing in my knowing, to know that God loves me. Father, I pray today that your love would be shed abroad in our hearts. I pray today, Lord, that we would feel your arms wrap around us. Would you be so gracious to do it like you did it for Sierra a few days ago? Would you be so kind to do it as strong as you did it in her life? Come and sit down beside us. Even if we don't see you, can we feel you? Can we experience you today? Can we just feel you draw up close to us today and just nudge us and know, Lord, that we are loved. We are loved. We are loved. And you make the difference in our lives. Today, if there be anything in me, if there be anything in me that is creating distance, if it's sin, if it's shame, if it's struggle, today I repent. Today I repent. I ask you to set me free. I ask you to deliver me. I ask you, Lord, to cleanse my life, my mind, my eyes, my ears, my words today, my feet, where they take me, my hands, what they touch, everything, God, in me, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I repent before you. I pray for your cleansing power over every single one of us today. I will not be the reason, Lord. I will not be the cause. Today, Lord, I release the world and I accept heaven in my life. I reject sin and I say yes to salvation today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them sing this over you for just a moment today. Just in the presence of the Lord.
He loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
Hallelujah. 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 Anybody thankful for the love of the Lord? He loves me. He loves me. And you know what Paul said? He said we wouldn't take advantage of that. If there's some part of your mind or your flesh saying, oh, well then you good. Go play. Go run. Go do whatever you want to do. Like the spoiled child that's not afraid of discipline. Paul said, no. When you get to that place in him, he said, you won't frustrate the grace of God. You won't frustrate the love of God. You're going to be so thankful to know that his love has been shed abroad in your hearts. The Bible said his love constrains us. It constrains us. Got all ladies up here, so I won't quite example that, but literally, he puts his arm around us. He holds us. He it's almost like getting us in a headlock and said, come on, come on, come on, come on. I'm gonna keep you out of some stuff. I'm gonna keep you out of some trouble. I'm gonna keep you out of some pain. I'm gonna keep you out of some things that you, if left to your own devices, you would fall straight into that ditch. But my love is gonna set. Have you ever been bowling and they put the guards up? Doesn't matter how wild you throw that ball, it'll just make its way because it keeps bumping off of those guards until it goes down and knocks all the pins over. He said, that's what my love is going to do for you. It's going to be the guard that's going to allow you to live life and keep knocking pins down, keep seeing success and blessing and benefit in your life. Listen, if you prayed that with me today, if you're brand new to this experience, I don't want you to leave empty-handed today or without clear next steps. Let us resource you on either side of the auditorium. Our yes banners right there on the table is one of these books called Following Jesus. Grab one of those books. There's connection cards there as well. If you'd like for someone to reach out to you to talk to you about this, we would be honored to do that and walk these steps out with you. You can also text follow, the word follow if you're online today. Text follow to 404-777-4701. Make sure we get your email in that link and we will send this book right to your inbox so that you can read and work and just see God do great things in your life. Amen. Come on, I'm loved by God. Why don't you stand with me today? We love you. If you need a few moments in the presence of God, we're here. If you want special prayer today, we'd love to pray with you. If you gotta go, God bless you.